Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
A Dublin pensioner has donated her house to charity, so her son, with an intellectual disability, will have somewhere to live in the years ahead. Tessa O'Hare's donation to St John of God's comes with the government being warned by advocates of the ticking time bomb of elderly parents caring for their children with disabilities. Our reporter Barry Lenehan has more on this. Tell us more of this donation in particular, Barry, and how it came about.
Yeah, well, 3,000 people across Ireland with an intellectual disability have a primary carer over the age of 70. Indeed, the National Federation of Voluntary Service Providers estimates that as of August of this year, at least 500 people with an intellectual disability are living with a primary carer over the age of 80. And there is that warning, as you alluded to there, Cormac, from those in the area of this issue of a ticking time bomb, they call it, for the government, with parents rightly asking what will happen to their child once they pass, their child with an intellectual disability. You also have the concurrent issue of 2,400 people with disabilities still living in inappropriate congregated settings. Those figures from HICWA as of this year, the idea of those with disabilities living in those settings, it had supposed to be axed as far back as 2011. So it's against this backdrop that I'm speaking to you this evening from the South Dublin suburb of Glenageary, where we've had a bit of a hoolie and a launch within the past few minutes to mark the fact that Dublin widow and pensioner Teresa O'Hare has taken the unprecedented step of donating her house to charity, the St. John of God's. Her son Ryan, a service user with the charity, just to ensure he has a roof over his head for the foreseeable future. Ryan will now live here in the house where I'm standing in the back garden at the moment with his three friends. And Teresa, she's been telling me how this has been on her mind for quite some time. She originally moved here in 1979. Originally from the north of Ireland. Her husband Tom passed away in 2019, but they've tried for years to ensure that this house could be with Ryan, could be with the St. John of God's. They've lobbied many ministers, many officials, and now today, Teresa has finally got it over the line. Her son Ryan, 42 years of age, and she's been telling me why this means so much to her.
It was probably evident from he was maybe two and a half that we were in difficulty, and he was admitted to the services. He's been looked after very well. He's availed of respite over the years. Because we only had him, we always wanted him to inherit the right to live here, and this was the only way we could do it. We went about doing that, really. I can't really remember which year. It's a number of years back.
A long time ago.
Yeah, a good while ago. Initially, really, we had left that in our wills, and then both of us decided that it was probably better if we went to work on it and tried to do it ourselves, you know, because after you're gone, you don't really know, you know. It took a while. The biggest stumbling block in the beginning, really, was when you approached a director in the service. They would take your house in a heartbeat, but they didn't have the funding to run it.
When did that sense of worry or anxiety over what happens next, when did that set in?
Well, it was probably as we got older, but it is something that's always in your head. You don't really know. He's an only child, and you don't really know what the future holds for him or where he would be housed. Obviously, he would be the responsibility of the agency, and this was one way of controlling what happened to him. It's a huge worry, really, and it's something that, you know, a lot of people have to just continue doing until they're elderly and they're no longer able to do it. And we were just in a very fortunate position to be able to do this. I have a small house up the road, and I moved into that in order to facilitate this.
And I know your husband Tom passed a few years ago. Did he know that this was in the offing before he passed?
Well, he did. He was in the hospice in Blackrock for a number of months. He was very aware of it, and it's something that is not easy done. I mean, the days are gone when you put lads like these into...
Here's
that.
That's Ryan. I'll
talk to you later, Mum. That's
Ryan. And I can tell Ryan, he's the apple of your eye as well, isn't he?
Well, he is. He's all I have, really. So he's very important to me. And, you know, his future and his ability to live here is very important. And his ability to stay integrated in the community.
And that's Teresa O'Hare there and her son Ryan. And Barry, you reported on the concerns of family carers on the programme yesterday, and you discussed some of those concerns with Teresa as well.
Yeah, and as you could hear there, our son Ryan, a bundle of energy, moving in here, as I say, with his three friends in this four-bed detached house, and they have been the life and soul of this party here to mark the official handover. But as you say, yesterday we reported on the concerns of carers who are fearful for the future and feel that they aren't adequately supported, feelings shared by Teresa.
Like, when you get to that part of your life, you should not really be doing that. I mean, your reactions are slowed. You're not as good as you were. You get more tired. You know, it's not fair to expect people to do it. I think the government needs to waken up, really.
The last few years, as you got older, especially since Tom's passing, have they been more difficult then?
They have, because I actually got sick as well, and I was in the hospital for a month. It's great for communities to experience these lads living among them. It's just something that is in the future and needs to be addressed. Especially, he had no siblings. So, it was his birthright, really, to inherit it. And it was his birthright to continue living here. It is something that is worth doing if you're able to do it.
Looking back on everything, do you think carers and people that were in a similar position to yourself feel supported by the state at the moment?
No, I don't think they're supported. I mean, there's different things I could quote you. I did see a clip at the end of the news one day. I don't know. There had been a playground opened somewhere in Ireland, and it was incorporated to include so-called normal children and children with disabilities. And they were all playing together in this playground. And I looked at it and I said, imagine not having the facility of a playground throughout your life, your childhood years, when you can enjoy things like that. There was one girl came off it, and she was in a wheelchair, and she said she was 26 years old and it was her first time in a playground. And I just say shame on the government for that, things like that. I could quote you things like that. People with disabilities, they're included in more things. If you're watching different programs, you see them on advertisements, you see them included in Tesco. I saw a little girl with Down syndrome and she was on one of the billboards inside the store, and they are getting more recognition. They are capable of a whole lot more than people think.
What's your overriding emotion today?
It's the end of the house for me. But that's okay. It has gone to where we wanted it to go. I'm very happy that he's secured and looked after, and that going forward that I don't have to worry about it. And it's a huge weight off your shoulders, really. So that's probably the overriding emotion.
You'll still visit?
Of course, yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely is right. That's Teresa O'Hare. What of the charity itself, St. John of Godsbury? What is it warning, or is it giving a warning about the future in terms of situations like this?
Yeah, well, the St. John of God's Housing Association says today's event, it marks the first donation of a property to the charity in 12 years. However, the charity is warning it needs a more sustainable long-term strategy in order to address the concerns we heard from Teresa there. In a moment, we'll hear from the CEO of the Housing Association, but first, the regional director of the charity, Des North.
Today is a huge day, Barry. You've no idea. To have a house of this nature in this local community is absolutely fantastic for us. We've managed to take four men and women, well, all men in this case, from our waitlist, which is a long waitlist. It's over 130 people, 30 who would have significant residential needs. The state has struggled to provide funding for to open residential and respite houses, and the need is very, very big. And St. John of God's is very keen to be funded and to provide these local services in communities like this. If we're funded, we can make these good things happen.
Given the over 3,000 people nationally with intellectual disabilities living with a primary carer over the age of 70, this is a major problem. What sort of budget is needed to tackle it?
It's a huge budget, but the trick is I suppose it's the bite-sized chunks, is to make a plan to make a start. If we could open one house every year, that would make a serious dent in South County Dublin's need. And if that was in all the CHO areas with all the organisations across the country, we would make progress pretty quick.
I'm Michelle Thunder. I'm the CEO of the St John of God Housing Association. We haven't been able to open a house to take people off the waitlist for 12, 13 years, so this is big for us. We have been opening houses for people coming out of institutions, but we haven't been able to help people who've been living at home with ageing parents. But we do feel that there's a crisis looming as people are now hitting their 80s and they're still trying to help 40 and 50 year old people up the stairs at night. It's just so difficult for people, it really is.
Is there a recognition of that issue, do you think?
Really, the state needs to step up and properly fund this area in order to alleviate the problems that are out there.
But how do you fund this area when there is a lack of housing?
But to be honest, the housing side, as I say, we get great support from the local authorities. The bigger issue is for the HSE to get funded to staff these houses if we do find them. The carers at home, as I say, they're in their 70s now. For those 3,000 people, they're not going to be around forever, and something needs to be done to help them.
Michelle Thunder there. Now, a plethora of politicians in the house behind me over the past few minutes to mark the official handover of the property to the charity. Indeed, one of the residents who's just moving in robbed the Cathaoirleachs chain from Mary Hannafin, the Cathaoirleach of Dunleary Rathdown County Council. So perhaps a future in politics beckons there. But also here to cut the ribbon was the Minister of State for Disability, Anne Rabbitt. She addressed people here in Glenageary, and afterwards I put some of the issues we've been discussing over the past few minutes and indeed yesterday to her.
The important discussion that really, really needs to be had is the provision of residential spaces for persons with disabilities within their own communities. Now more than ever, when we're having the conversation around housing for all, we need to ensure that each local authority provides and makes provisions for persons with disability. It is the role and the responsibility of the Department of Health to ensure that the care needs and the support of the individual is there for, but they can only provide those supports if the houses are available. And yes, I appreciate that there is a housing crisis, I'm totally aware of that. But I also think there is a responsibility within local authorities to ensure that there's a provision of local authority properties held for persons with disability.
What can you say to the families that are listening to this evening? As we know, over 3,000 people with intellectual disabilities living with a primary carer over the age of 70, over 500 or approximately 500 over the age of 80. What reassurances can you give to those families this evening who are very fearful for the future?
Yes, what I can say to those families is it's a priority for me for ensuring of working with Minister O'Brien, where he's a €4 billion annual budget to ensure that there's a fair share kept there for persons with disability for planned residential placement. At the moment, I have a pilot scheme already put in place to see how we can actually transition people that need that transition into residential care as quickly as possible.
I mean, is the time not gone beyond a pilot scheme strategy actions? Needed?
No, it's not. In actual fact, for the HSE or for anybody, we're not talking about people who can actually just transition and move from one location to another. It's not as simple as that. These people need to be transitioned, and they need to be transitioned carefully.
Even on today, we speaking to Therese earlier on, she has been a primary carer for Ryan for many years, and carers, even though those extra supports in the budget last week, are saying that they just don't feel valued by the state at the moment, that not enough is there for them. What would you say back to that? We've featured some of their stories on our programme the last week.
There's no doubt that carers that are providing for a person with an intellectual disability, it's very intense. There's no, and I won't deny that. And they don't feel supported because COVID really put them to the pin of their collar, where day services didn't operate in a lot of cases. So those people, and there's an age profile of persons here that are actually providing that care. There's one man, 93 years of age, driving his son to daycare on a regular basis as we speak. No, there isn't a provision. My ambition is to ensure that we get our fair share of the pie within Housing for All in every local community to meet the needs.
You could give a commitment this evening that fair share of the pie will happen.
Absolutely. That's why we have a housing strategy for persons with disability. It's the first time that we've had such a strategy. There is a recognition within the state. There's a clear recognition within the state, within government, that we need to provide residential placements for people with disabilities within all of their communities.
Minister of State for Disabilities Anne Rabbitt there, ending that report by Barry Lennon. And you can text us to 51551.